Welcome to the F1 Geeks podcast. Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, final race of the 2020 season. I'm here with David Middleton from myracing.com. David,
how you doing?
What's up, man? How was last week's race for you?
87 laps of nonstop excitement. It was great. At first, I did think that the car, that it was more like a kart track with the lap times and the configuration, but it turned out to be a wonderful race and had a lot of drama. So I enjoyed it.
Had a lot of hope for this track, had a lot of optimism that it was going to be exciting, and it was. The configuration, when we saw it early in the year, when they said, hey, we're going to do this thing, was very hopeful, and it paid out, I think. I hope we see it again. I mean, it's at Sakhir, so we probably won't in the future get, unless we have another pandemic, which hopefully we don't. It's like unlikely that we'll get two races in Bahrain in 1 year, but maybe they can do an alternating configuration in Bahrain from now on.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Yeah, 1 year in the traditional circuit, 1 year on this config.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that would be awesome. I enjoyed the race, and of course, high drama, a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to get to.
Yeah, so we had our predictions about Russell and Valtteri and Max and all the other boys on the grid before the last race, and most of them played out, which was good. So I guess we know what we're talking about. But
well, you were spot on. You were 100% spot on about what you said about Russell versus Bottas. And if I remember, I said that you could tell the practices would be telling. And after that first day, you already saw that he had just got in the car. He was comfortable. And I said, if you look at qualifying and if he's within, I said, 2/10, then he's doing awesome. And he was well within 2/10. So, yeah, your prediction was 100% spot on.
Yeah, and it was incredible to see Russell outpaced him in a car that he couldn't fit in, literally.
Yeah.
That they were making jokes, and to be honest with you, I couldn't tell if this was actually true or not, but they were talking about how he was wearing a half a size smaller in shoe because he was
so
tight.
No, it wasn't a joke.
Yeah, so that was real.
It was serious.
I never found the actual storyline on that, but I remember the pundits making commentary on while watching the race. But to show you, like, he was barely fitting in the car, so he was not comfortable in the car physically, and yet his race pace and everything was just way ahead. I mean, he was like 10 seconds, I think, ahead at the highest point, roughly, give or take a couple seconds.
And during the race, yes.
Yeah, and the back and forth. Let's start at the beginning. There was a huge incident, I think lap one, with Max and Charles. So we had so much hope for the Ferrari, too, in this race, because Charles put it in fourth, I think, on quali, on the grid. And that was fantastic. Amazing, amazing result considering Ferrari's performance and considering, you know, everything the Tifosi have gone through this year with that car. So there was such high hopes for Ferrari fans. And then Charles got a little overzealous, got too excited.
He got greedy.
Yeah. And he tried to steal too many positions too soon, too quick. And he ended up locking up, smacking the back of not Max. Max was actually trying to do avoidance maneuvers, and I can't remember who he hit though. He took out
he took up
Sergio.
Perez.
Sergio, that's right.
Right. Yeah. He took up Perez because they bumped wheels. Perez was kind of in the middle of the track, and it broke the front axle, caused Leclerc to go off, and Max to try to avoid Sergio, and Max went off, and then hit the barrier and broke his front axle. The funny thing is, if you look at it, Max was being cautious for once. He was like, all right, I'm going to play the long game. I probably can hunt down Bottas and maybe get Russell. And to see that Max eased off and then still had an accident, and he was pissed. And I don't blame him. I mean, because he had been not so aggressive and he still ended up in an accident.
Yeah, he was kicking tire walls. He was pretty angry. I will say this. I know this is alternative perspective, but It was actually for me a good moment. It was a beautiful moment, in fact, because what it ended up doing was it put Perez in last place.
Yeah.
And what that ended up doing was Perez broke a record, which is he won the race from last place on the first lap. No one in history of Formula One has done that. So two things there. The fact that Perez got redemption, not just for this race, but for all of us F1 fans, for his career, because we all want him in the sport next year. Everybody believes he deserves a ride and a seat. And the fact after last week's huge, amazing race he was having with, and then the engine decided to blow on him and he lost the podium, the position that he was fighting for. So there was some silver lining, I guess you can, if you look at it like that, to that incident. Like, we wouldn't have seen Perez make that charge from last place. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was incredible, and I'm very, I don't think there was anybody on the grid who was not happy for him. And it raises the question, will he be unemployed next year? There's a lot of questions coming up after this race. But he did well to make sure to get into the pits, to put on the hard tires and to make it to the end. So he yeah. did, he ran a heck of a race.
Yeah,
and took advantage of the opportunity in front of him.
Yeah, no, he killed it. We talked about in the last podcast how he's incredibly good on tires. His driving style is very conservative when it comes to tires, but the pace is there, which makes him quite unique. And that's what we saw. We saw his long run all over again and just came back and crushed. God, he's so consistent. It's a shame that somebody hasn't picked him up already. Like, the fact that he's even in this position, like, blows my mind. I really hope Red Bull signs him. So
we'll see.
Yeah, we shall see.
We'll see. I mean, we are hoping that Red Bull signs him, but to be honest, would you take...
Yes.
We talked about this, about Vettel. You still would take Vettel over him.
No, well...
Right now, look at the way they're driving.
Yeah, given...
I know that we're going to lean on Vettel's history and Vettel's ability to help development, but... Perez is not a slouch.
No, Perez is not a slouch, but if we're going to go back to the beginning of the year and management tells me, or ownership tells me as management, that, hey, we have this opportunity to sign this four-time world champion who's recognized as the... you know, the better, if not the best, development driver in the field out of everybody on the grid. I would go in that route because that's what Racing Point needs more than, and it's not to say Perez isn't a good development driver or gives good feedback to the engineers, but Vettel is recognized and known in the paddock to be number one. First driver to show up, last driver to leave, hangs out with mechanics all day long, all night long, constantly in communication, constantly working with them. We know, we've all seen the memes online, and if you haven't, go check it out. Like, it's Inspector Vettel. Everybody recognizes him as Inspector Vettel. Whenever the race is over, he's walking through Parc Fermé. He's walking through all the, looking at every other team's cars, inspecting, literally looking under, lays down on the ground, looking at their floor, and giving feedback to his engineers.
I don't disagree with that, but four championships at Red Bull, you had Adrian Newey.
Ooh.
Zero championships
shots
at Ferrari.
Shots fired.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. You know, I'm just saying, look, he's that great. What happened with Ferrari? And you can blame it on the engine. You can blame it on the, you know, whatever they did or didn't do with the engine. But something failed at Ferrari that did not fail at Red Bull. And he did have Adrian Newey at Red Bull. That's all I'm going to say. So we'll find out. I think sometimes it can be overblown of how much time a driver does or doesn't spend in the garage, right? I think it's important. Don't get me wrong. I do think it's important. I think a lot of people can blow it out of proportion, right? We heard the same thing, how Rosberg was so great at developing a car, how Vettel's so great, Alonso's so great. And then we hear on the flip side of, like, other drivers who don't spend as much time in the garage but still have success. So, yes, it is important. And, yes, Vettel does carry a lot of weight. And, yes, he does come with a great knowledge of development of the cars, which is going to be beneficial to Aston Martin. But is that going to be so much of a gain to what Perez offers right now? You know, that's, I don't know. I mean, who knows? we're going
to
find out.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's, you know, to respect the intelligence and what's it called, experience at Racing Point, mm-hmm. they've been with Perez for quite some time. I mean, he's been when it was still Force India, right? So we're not talking about just this interim, like, renaming of the team. So they've had him for so long, the same engineers, the same everybody, and the fact that I think they're jumping to a new driver probably is, I think, more management decision than it really is ownership decision. They probably sat down, and we know how, what's the word, motivated and competitive Lawrence Stroll is, the major shareholder at Racing Point.
Right.
So the fact if he sits down in front of the team and in the management committee and says, hey, guys, what do we need? Where are we lacking? Check those boxes off next season. And what? How are we going to get to those objectives? I imagine that's the conversation that's been had. Just because of the fact that, we know what Perez has done for that team. We know that Perez saved that team. Like, if it wasn't for him, there likely may not be an outfit today. Who knows, right? So the fact that they were willing to push that completely aside, there's no way to me in my mind that the entire Racing Point management team didn't bring that up, like, with a heavy heart, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. to ownership. So I would say, yeah, you all your points are correct. I mean, we've seen, I think it was Alan Permain that mentioned that, like, although he loves Kimi, he absolutely hated that Kimi put in minimal effort, but Kimi was a champion, and Kimi is an incredible, one of the fastest drivers in his prime, right? And
right, and that's a great example of somebody who it's maybe overblown about how much time he spends in the garage, because he doesn't, and he gets criticism, but yet, you know, he's a great driver.
Right.
And obviously something's working where the engineers are still able to understand what Kimi wants out of a car, right?
Right, absolutely. And so those are the reasons why I do think Racing Point is probably making the right decision for what they believe they need. Despite what I believe and love about Sergio and what I would want, I would stick with, to answer your question in short now, to bring this back full circle, I would stick with the Vettel decision based on all that. So but what's it called? What do we have next? We have Grosjean, unfortunately, announced he's not going to make this race in Abu Dhabi. I think we all kind of knew that he wasn't going to heal that fast. So unfortunately for him, he would have ended up having 100 races had he been able to stick out all these races. But he ends his career with 98, I guess, which is okay. 5 year, that's with Haas, 100 races with Haas. That would have been 100 races with Haas during his 5 year tenure with them now. The other thing, King Lewis, still up in the air. We are now, this is Thursday? Where are we at?
Yeah.
And he's still up in the air. We don't know yet whether he's going to make it to the, if Russell's going to race for him in Abu Dhabi. And I have a lot to say about that. Why don't you kick that off? What are your thoughts if he does or doesn't make it?
Man, if he doesn't make it, it's the end of the year. It's not that big of a deal. Maybe to him, he wants to end the season, of course, on track. And I think if he doesn't, he might come in really motivated next year. You know, like, probably the best thing for all his competitors is that he finishes the season on track, because you know, the guy is super ultra competitive. And if he can't finish up the season, he's going to come out. Maybe, you know, sometimes he likes to ease into a season. I don't think he's going to ease into the season next year. So he's going to hit the gym. He's going to be posting stuff on Instagram.
I think, yeah. I agree 100%. I think Russell gets another opportunity in that in his car. It's going to be a very aggressive Lewis next year.
Right.
I think it's going to be a very motivated Mercedes to get Russell then back into that seat, especially with the comments we saw from Toto after this last race, which Toto never criticizes his drivers publicly. And I don't know if I want to call this a criticism, but he didn't make a positive remark about Bottas. If I don't remember verbatim, but basically he said Bottas did not shine in this race. That's for sure.
That's That's the quote. He said, Botas did not shine.
Yeah. And then he talked about, you know, the thing. And the commentary he gave it to Russell was, a star is born. Right. So, I mean, you're doing that in front of your current driver and contracted driver for next season. And man, we know Toto. Toto usually always says the exact thing, like the most PC thing and the most, like, he's always on. So for him to come out and even make an inkling of a criticism like that was like, wow. Like, it's got me now thinking, like, man, maybe there is an opportunity for Russell to jump into the seat next season. And especially
maybe there is.
And maybe, yeah, especially if he gets this this drive this weekend, this Friday,
right,
or Saturday,
right, and comes out, and if he wins it or finishes top two or three, which we assume he would, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I can only assume what Mercedes would do. They don't like to rock the boat, so I would assume that they'll keep Bottas, but you never know. They could say, hey, we're gonna change things up. Stranger things have happened at Formula One.
Driver swap, Valtteri, yeah, back to Williams, and Russell in the Mercedes.
Do you think? I don't know. I don't know if there's room in his contract for Bottas to go back to Williams.
I mean,
who knows?
If Mercedes is that motivated to get him in the seat, I imagine they'd fill the gap with the funding to push Valtteri back to Williams. We've seen that happen in the past with several teams. So if they're that motivated,
what's the benefit though? Right, you're gonna swap Russell for Bottas. With Bottas and Hamilton, you're almost guaranteed a 1-2 or 1-3, right?
So yes,
on every race.
So
what's the upside? Because with Russell, you're gonna get a 1-2 or 1-3. What's the upside?
Well,
of paying money and then bringing in Russell.
We don't know where Red Bull's car next year is gonna be. And they were knocking on the door in a couple of races this year. Yes, granted, they were far off the pace because the Mercedes was just, the W11 was just literally in a world of its own. Like, but we really don't know. We've seen cars come back, so we don't know where the Red Bull's going to lie. And the fact that Valtteri is still racing for second place at this point in the season, basically, that's one token. The second token, I lost my train of thought. You did this to me last week. It's your fault. It's COVID brain, man. It's quarantine brain.
We were talking about basically the upside of bringing Russell in, and you're saying number one is that.
Yes, I got it. The motivation, yeah, that it will it'll drive Lewis, first of all. The second, we're forgetting one thing that has nothing to do with the driving part. Lewis has still not signed a contract with Mercedes. And everything we're reading and seeing is showing that it's not a Mercedes thing. It's a Lewis and management thing, that they're negotiating.
Yeah, he wants more money.
Probably more money, but at the same time, I don't think it's a long term. And the fact that Russell came into the chair last week and did so well, and then if he does it again this weekend, like, Lewis better pull that pen out soon, like, and start signing and showing his commitment so he can be placed. And, you know, for Mercedes claims they don't do number one and number two status, but that's the benefit.
Show commitment to a guy who has brought you guys 6-7 world championships. And I'm saying 7 world championships as a team. I'm not, you know, of course, he 6 with Mercedes, and that one year he lost, Nico took it. But as a team, he has been on that team to bring 7 world championships to a team that never had it. And you're going to tell me you need to show your commitment by signing on the dotted line? Come on now.
Yeah.
I'm not buying that.
Yeah, I am. I am. I think this was a big thing. If Russell steps into the seat again this weekend and just totally shines, like, it's going to be like, hey, look, Lewis, we've committed a lot to you. You're asking for more money. Where we're speculating, like, let's say he's asking for, I can't remember the number that he's getting paid, so we'll use some arbitrary numbers right now. If he was getting paid 30 mil per year, and now he's asking for
40.
And let's say he's asking for some, like, yeah, like, so much more, 20-30% more on his, mm-hmm, just for another season or two. I can see Mercedes saying, whoa, pump the brakes. We'll take care of you. Like, you're still the highest paid driver in the sport. you know what we've done for you and what you've done for us, we recognize as well. But I can see this being like, look, Lewis, we love you. We've done great. This is what the team can do right now. We're in a position of restructure. Let's not forget, Lewis's contract affects a lot what's happening in the 2022 rule situation. So if he's really demanding that much more money, that affects the team dramatically and where they're going to invest the rest of their cash and budget. Don't forget that either. And so for the team to sit there and tell him, hey, Lewis, we need you to take actually a pay cut or stay where you're at because we need to be able to push more money towards development, which we don't have that budget like we had before. We don't have the same number of staff. They're also cutting the team's numbers down by like more than half, I think, if I recall. I can't remember the exact number, but we're losing more than half the staff for every team, for every outfit because of the new 2022 rules.
Yeah, and I don't see him being hard set on negotiating over money that much that he won't eventually sign a contract. He just likes to be stubborn and do it in his own way. So I don't know. I don't see it being such a hard negotiation that you need to force Russell, you know, you need to bring Russell to the table and help to get Lewis signed and say, hey, look what we've done for you, blah, blah, blah. Because, again, Lewis can turn around and say, hey, look what I've done for you.
Yeah, but it's a motivator. That's my point. It's a motivator to get him to sign whatever they've put in front of him.
I think the motivator is winning another championship and having 8 or 9. I think that's the motivation enough. I don't think the money's the motivator here. He's got enough money. Who knows what enough money is? But
yeah.
But his worth is what, north of $200 million.
So, but right? Lewis, right? But Lewis is, well, I'm sure it's worth more than that. But Lewis is Lewis made some big comments this year about his driving, which we haven't necessarily seen in the past. Like he said, hey, I'm just getting started. Like right. That right there, just that comment alone is big on what he's trying to drive at his opponents, right? Getting in their psychology and everything. And so if my opinion is yes, I think Russell is a motivator, even for Lewis to want to do this, because Lewis is also, let's back up to the naysayers on Lewis, right? This is also an opportunity for Lewis to showcase, hey, look, everybody's seeing this guy as really highly regarded. I want to beat him to cement and shut everybody up about that talks trash about me that says, hey, I'm only winning because of my car and I'm not winning because of my pure talent. That's a huge motivator. And I could see Toto and Mercedes even using that on the table and telling him, let's do this. Let's show the world what you really can do. I could totally see Toto dropping that.
I mean, maybe, but again, they don't like to rock the boat. They got a good thing going. I don't see Toto wanting to rock the boat that much. If it happens, but I don't see him.
Toto, don't listen to David. Listen to me. Put Russell in that car. I want to see these guys drive.
Well, you didn't ask what I want. come on. There's a big difference between what I think is going to happen and what they should do and what I want. As we know, hey, what I would want, I'd love to see Ferrari have a great car and to see Max and Leclerc as teammates. Now that's what I want. Ooh. Because I think that would be the next center pro. That's what I want, right?
Sparkles.
And I'd love to see Hamilton and Russell in a great Williams. I'd love to see
Esteban and Gasly
in a great Mercedes and see Leclerc and Max in a great Ferrari and those two or four going against each other. That would be awesome.
And Esteban and Gasly. You just want drama. Yeah, look
right,
at you.
Right, I want drama. Of course I want drama. Who doesn't
want
to
end relationships?
I do not watch soap operas. Racing is my thing. I want some drama.
Yeah.
I want some on track battles. That's what I want.
Yeah, for sure.
Do I think it's gonna happen? Well, no. So yeah.
So okay. So let's not beat a dead horse. it's a horrible cliche or adage, whatever you call it. But
I think the likelihood. Let's wrap it up here. But I think the likelihood of Russell coming to Williams. It's possible.
Mercedes.
But
yeah.
I mean, sorry, Mercedes. Where's my head? I'm getting COVID brain here. Yeah. Go into Mercedes.
It's going around.
It's possible, but probably not probable.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Fair enough. Yeah. Agreed. So Russell and Mercedes in 2021, hopefully, but not likely. So we have a young driver's test coming up this weekend. We have one young driver actually driving in it. This is drawing some controversy right now. So
they need to change the name.
Yeah, I think that's part of the confusion. It's dubbed the young driver's test that you do it at the end of every year in Abu Dhabi. And it's usually geared around testing for new drivers coming in. And most of those new drivers are usually young. And then when teams have a driver that's not technically considered a young driver, however they really define that, teams request special permission to run them. For example, Kubica, when he came back last season, they'd asked for a test for him so he can get acquainted and they can, you know, test him. So this year, interesting, we have young drivers joining that are not young drivers. We have Alonso, who's a seasoned 40-year-old veteran. We have Sebastian Buemi. We have Robert Kubica. We have Stoffel Vandoorne. These are all like seasoned drivers now. And then Jack Aitken is the only true young driver.
It's the young at heart driver's test.
Exactly. And so it drew a lot of commotion because we also saw the rejection of individuals. Sainz, Vettel, Ricciardo were rejected for, what was the reasoning? What did they say? They said that no existing veteran seasoned drivers are allowed to participate. Because I don't agree with the dialogue that followed that. I accept what the FIA has to say about that bit of the sentence. But the second part of it was basically saying that the existing drivers could give a certain type or amount of feedback back to the engineers that would give them an unfair advantage, as if they were getting like an extra testing day in Spain, in Catalonia beginning of the year. So whereas these new driver, or even if they're veteran drivers coming in and having been out of the sport, wouldn't be able to give the same kind of feedback on the car. So that's their reasoning. I say yes and no on that, because you know dang well, man, Alonso, Kubica, these guys are going to give them ultra feedback. Like, come on. It doesn't matter whether they've been in the car or not. Their intelligence and experience and drivability is just out of this world. So what do you think?
I think that the FIA should say, we reserve the right to do whatever the heck we want. They might as well say that, because that'll stop any controversy, and say we look at it from a case to case situation and we make that decision. Do I think it's slightly unfair for Alonso? Alonso said that the development of the car in 2 years has been rapid, and he said it's such a change. But Alonso can adapt to anything, man. You could throw him in anything with an engine, and he's going to go faster than probably just about anybody on the planet. So it's maybe an unfair advantage to his teammate, who's going to be on the back foot already. And it helps him to get up to speed, where with a guy like Alonso, you want to have, if you're one of the rivals, you want to have as much of a leg up on Alonso. And this is not happening. You know, he's going to get in the car early. He's going to feel comfortable, and he's going to come at them. So I think the FIA should just say or have a rule saying, look, if you're out of the sport for 2+ years, we allow this. Or considering the circumstances, if you had an accident or some sort of situation, we do it on a case-by-case basis, and that'll clear up any of the confusion. I can see Sainz's point and Ricciardo's point and even Vettel's point, but, you know, they were there last year, and they've had more experience. And yeah, I think if I was Alonso, I'd be fighting for it, and if I was Sainz, I'd be fighting against it, to be quite blunt. So depending on what side of the situation I am, I'd be for it or against it.
I'm actually quite surprised we haven't seen a lot of hands get tossed up, calling out Alonso on this, like, or Renault, and for that matter, like being against, right, like Alonso stepping foot into that car, because, I mean, we haven't seen this happen too much in the past, but come on, we know Alonso's capabilities. We know this is going to be helping. Hey, and don't get me wrong, like, I'm okay with it personally, but I'm surprised. I'm very surprised, like, we haven't seen
when you say hands up, what exactly do you expect teams to do? Like, what kind of form of protest?
Yeah.
Or what can they do?
I mean, based on the dialogue that the FIA put forward as to why they're not allowing Vettel and why they're not allowing Sainz and these guys, I think the same argument could still be made against Alonso and Kubica, for example. Like, these guys are not slouches. These guys are highly intelligent, so respected by peers, right? Like, and we haven't heard one person say anything about Alonso and Kubica that's not like almost perfect, like dialogue. If you describe a driver and their ability to give feedback specifically, like, so, which is the specific thing that the FIA is saying that we don't want to allow for veteran drivers that are in the sport. So, anyway,
well, they need to change the definition then, right, of what the young driver test, yes, is, and that helps. Once, if you say, okay, this is the ruling we made for this year, and going forward, we're changing the definition so there's, right, extreme clarity, so you don't feel that we're operating under any prejudice. And if they don't do that, well, then as a team who's not able to let's say field Vettel or Sainz, then I'm going to raise heck, you know. So I would give it. I'm not saying I would give it necessarily a pass, but how, there's only so much you can fight the FIA on, right? You're fighting them on a whole lot of stuff as a team. And I would be like, look, you need to clarify this going forward. I'm fine if you clarify, but if you don't clarify it, then I'm going to make a big fuss here,
right,
on out.
Right, exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It is what it is at this point, and we're going, right, to see. I would have liked to have seen a couple of more youngies in the car. I really wanted to see I really want to see if De Vries in that car, man.
That's another thing. Now that you bring that up about seeing
that,
more young drivers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we recognize it as a young driver's test and an opportunity to put these guys in the car, which there's so minimal opportunities throughout the year already. And that's like where it goes back to. Like, there's such a minimal amount of opportunities throughout a season for anybody to step foot in a car, even for people to just acquire the necessary points to have a certified super license in place.
Right.
So, like, this is, again, like, kind of a lost opportunity here for some of these young guys. Go ahead.
They're not making it any easier for young drivers to get into Formula One, right? The super license points and everything they're doing.
They are now. So they've actually, there was an article last month that announced that FIA is going to, two things, create more opportunities for them to step foot in the cars, which this kind of contradicts that.
Right, exactly.
But also they're going to, I think, relieve some of the necessary, like, number, amount of time spent in a car necessary to acquire the proper amount of license points. So they are actually.
Go starting when?
This season, this coming year. Yeah, they're putting everything in place now. So,
okay.
So that's a good thing. That's positive. That's positive.
Yeah, they say that, but yeah, this.
But
this
then they do this.
Kind of contradicts.
I know. No, I know. I'm with you. Yeah, I agree. Let's build on everything with Russell too. We're actually kind of jumping back and forth, but it's okay. Let's build on something that happened with Mercedes this year. We're talking about De Vries and young drivers. There was an incident actually in the race. I want to bring this back up because we should have talked about it. There was an incident in the race which lost the opportunity for Russell to win. We had him leading, I think, at this point, the race.
Yeah,
There was a safety car. There was a huge, you know, like what happens during safety cars is everybody rushes to the pits. Mercedes called in their boys and they double stacked the pits. And what happened was that Russell got two of his tires on his car and two of Bottas's tires on his car, different compounds, and he got penalized. He had to come back in, put into another set of tires on the car, the proper ones, and Mercedes got fined at the end of the race and a smack on that smack on the wrist. So we heard James Allison. Did you get a chance to listen to James Allison's response as to why it happened?
No, but I heard Toto's saying about the failure of one of the walkie-talkies.
So I'll explain it really quickly. We don't really have to get into the exact super details of it, but effectively what happened was when one individual comes on the radio to talk to the driver or talk to the engineers, whoever it is in the their garage. It does not allow anybody else to be heard. It locks out everybody. So Russell got on team radio, was talking to the engineers. At the same time, one of the engineers was clicked on, did not pay attention that Russell was talking, started talking and giving orders to the garage and to the mechanics about the pits, about the tires, was not heard, was heard by, I think they said, a few of the mechanics, but wasn't heard by the rest of the mechanics. The radio actually somehow split. It only captured some of Russell and some of the, and that was the dialogue that James Allison get. Ooh, you're making a face. You don't believe it?
I'm making a face.
So that was the response that we heard, which is quite interesting because my understanding is that everybody's using the same radio systems. I could be wrong here, but everybody's on the same kind of technology. And for this to have occurred, what? How long has Mercedes now been in the sport?
Like, that's why I'm making a
and
face.
How many? So it is quite interesting that this now finally comes up, or this is finally. But at any rate, that's what they said happened, and that's what caused all the commotion and the confusion and what threw away the race for Russell.
I'm not there.
You don't actually believe it? You think it's BS?
I mean, it's possible. Like, stranger things have happened in garages, don't get me wrong. But you're telling me, since they've had this new system, that this is the first time this has occurred? You're telling me that as the team doesn't go through these scenarios? Dude, when you're racing, and you know, because you raced, right? Well, for the most part, you practice seat exchanges in the middle of the night, right? You practice stuff not at race speed. You practice stuff at race speed. You practice the little things, making sure that you grab your seat cushion, getting, like, just that kind of stuff. And you're telling me that the guy who was in charge, or the woman who's ever in charge of that situation, didn't notice? There's such a well-oiled machine. It just, I don't know. It sounds a little suspect. I'm not saying that it didn't have it. It just sounds, yeah.
It sounds, you know what it suspect. Is? I think it's because we view F1 and Mercedes especially as this incredible juggernaut of technologies, being state of the art, being the greatest in strategists, intelligence, and everything, and something this minute somehow slips through. I get it.
Which is possible. I mean, that happens in large companies. Like that, yeah. you don't check out that exhaust vent, then your Death Star blows up. You know,
yeah. So
it happens with the Empire, right? Right,
but multiple times with the Empire, by the
way. Multiple times. but yeah, I don't know. I know at the beginning you left it at the feet of the mechanics, and I was saying I wasn't giving the mechanics full blame. There's something else going on, because I told you those.
It's never one person's fault.
Prepared,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right. Right. So I don't know.
Yeah. It was. I know for sure one of the mechanics did something other than what we saw too, which was the whole. I told you that, and maybe that was right. Because it's what he saw was going on as well. We saw him run around and put the same tire that came off back on. So like, and that. Right. So at any rate, yeah, it was something that was devastating, obviously, for George and the team and everybody that was rooting for it. But it was so unique of a scenario. It was pretty bizarre. I will say that if we're going to have any conspiracy theorists throw together anything, David, it was very far-fetched from reality, that the reality of what Mercedes has done in the past and Formula One in general.
Well, just the amount of bad luck. So they pit him. He comes back out. He's in first. They got to pit him again. He goes down the order, and then he gets a puncture, and they got to pit him again.
Yeah.
And he's still in position. Like after the second pit stop, he was still in a position to win the race. You know, he was in third or fourth, battling. He probably could have won the race, but then he gets the slow puncture, and that ruins his race.
But let's talk silver lining here again. What's the silver lining of this outcome? He had to make an incredible run back at Valtteri, and that pass he put on Valtteri, dude, on that back section in those S's was epic. That is a pass that we're going to see in replays, in sizzles and reels for years to come. He was on full tilt on the outside of the corner, going through multiple corners, holding side by side on the bumpy section of the course in a car he doesn't fit in.
And I agree.
Oh my God.
I agree. Not to be a Debbie Downer here, but he did have a tire advantage.
Right? Blah, blah, blah. Sorry. Get out of here. There's the door. Go. How dare you?
Botas was on those old hard compounds. And I mean, yes, the pass was fantastic. There were two or three passes of that race that stand out. That was one of them. Ocon's pass was one of them. Yeah. And Perez's pass was one of them. There were three passes that were just head and shoulders above everything else that happened that race. And I'm not trying to downplay his pass. It took I'm trying to think of a PC word here. It took a lot of fortitude for him to do that.
His attachments were large.
Yes.
He has a set of large.
I was just trying to think of a word I could say in front of my daughters. It took a lot of fortitude for him to do that then and there. And you did see that. Another silver lining is you know, probably Lewis had a small chuckle saying, well, you know, you miss me. And that the fact that they didn't get the win. I think it did go to exhibit how good this guy's driving skills were. We've talked about it. Some people haven't been impressed with Russell, but you and I have both seen that he's got some great driving skills. And just how unlucky. I mean, Bottas is ready to put this season to bed. Can you blame him? I will mention this. It's the silver lining for Hülkenberg is that he wasn't in that car. Because can you imagine if Hülkenberg was in first and about to win and that muck up happens? I mean, you might have to hide all the belts from Hülkenberg's house, right? If he was in a position to win the race and then that catastrophe happens, I don't think you could say anything to him. He would be devastated if that was Hülkenberg.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost you're probably right. He's probably better off not having been in the car.
Yeah.
Because Russell knows there's another shot coming in his career.
He's probably going to win a race. I would be surprised if Russell never wins a race.
Russell's getting a championship.
Yes.
Russell's getting a championship. I will put money on that. Yeah, for sure.
Hey, go to the bookies already. UK
bookies.
Oh
man,
I
already did. Like I didn't actually go to, but it's friends for banter and, you know. we don't bet money.
UK bookies, they bet everything. So yeah, man, you make a couple of quid here and there.
Yeah. it was incredibly rare and odd mistake that we saw. But it did lead to, you know, again, entertainment.
It was
the most. If ever it was going to happen, the Mercedes, great timing, because they've already locked up both championships, season's over, and so it was relatively inconsequential. In fact, we talk about how failure leads to greater success, so the fact that it happened now is going to have them implement processes and checks so that it won't happen again, and probably let them probably recognize and see maybe other areas where they could have had faults. So we talked about that in our little private chat before about SpaceX's launch yesterday and how, and in general, not just the space industry, but engineering, right? You want to see failures occur during testing because that's the point of testing. And that
you
want
to see it at certain times.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. And so that's what leads to a greater product, better success, more progression. That's the whole point of it. So this actually, to be honest with you, probably in the long haul is not good for their competition. It's just going to make their machine way stronger.
Think about if they were fighting Red Bull for first place, and it's the middle of the season, or let's say after the summer break, quote unquote summer break, so like Spa, and you're losing out on almost 35 points, let's say 31 to 35 points, right? If that something like that happens, and that can swing a championship, and yet there's no consequences.
Absolutely nothing to them.
Like, yeah, it did nothing. Yeah.
A race result that didn't really matter at the end of the day.
Right. Maybe a little bit of morale. Bottas's morale for sure. Maybe some anger. But I don't think that Toto was that angry. I think he was frustrated.
Yeah.
And you could tell in his interviews he was frustrated that it happened, and he was disappointed for George. But I'm sure he put his hand on George's shoulder and said, "Look, son, you're going to win more.
Yeah.
We're sorry. We messed it up. We will make sure that we will give you the opportunity again.
Next year.
But you keep doing what you're doing." So yeah, yeah, maybe next year.
Just gonna keep inserting that.
Well, I want. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got. So we just recently got. We recently got the announcement that Mick's coming in for Haas next year. Mazepin's coming into Haas next year, and almost as soon as we heard that they were coming in, we got some controversy. Our boy Nikita, who's just got signed and just got announced that he's going to be a Formula One driver next year. We're going to bring this up. Did something very, very stupid. There's no other way to put it. It was very, very immature, unethical, however you want to refer to it. Like, he posted a video of himself basically grabbing at a girl in the backseat of his car or a friend's car. And the girl telling him to shut up and turn the video off is what I understood. I actually didn't see the audio version of the video. I saw the muted version. But my understanding from reading the dialogues that everybody was posting and or all the journalists were talking about was that she was telling him to stop and shut up. Anyway, he got, you know, obviously for good reason, you know, everybody went after him. And he made a... Haas condemned the behavior, but I don't think any actual action was taken. And, you know, the FIA then supported Haas's decision and statement about condemning the behavior. And he came out and posted later that, you know, I would never hurt this person. It was just something that we were doing. It was friends. We were having fun. I think the girl herself posted something that saying, like, I have never been afraid of being around Nikita. It was just banter. But it's, you know, for somebody at this stage in their career, before they even became, the fact that they're just F2 and professional race car drivers, they should know better than to do anything like that. Forget the fact that you're even friends with the trip. What if
you would think
what does that show though? Like, you know how you're an example, you're setting an example for behavior for young people around the world.
No. This is not how they feel, man. Like, yeah, this is not how people feel. And I'm saying young people of that age, that's the problem. And I remember when an incident happened, we actually talked about it. And my first response was he friends with the girl or was it someone he didn't know? Because of course the banter between you and I, when we're off camera and we're private, like our banter goes back and forth because we're more like brothers or cousins, right?
For sure.
And we probably say and do stuff in our private lives with each other that we wouldn't want to put on air, but it's because of, you know, the love and affection we have for each other.
Right.
Right? But we're going to make sure that when we're on the air,
I hate you,
and we were doing this, that we're going to be as professional as possible. And the fact that he doesn't understand that he shouldn't, whether it was in jest with a friend, you know, because we've all done stupid stuff. He's what, 20?
Yeah, he's a young guy. He's a young guy, early 20s.
Yeah, you know, and we've probably done stuff with women when we were young, the stupid that we should, but we weren't posting it, and we also weren't the son of a billionaire. We weren't F2 driver going to be an F1 driver. And I also know that I can imagine if I had did something, my dad's reaction to me, man, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness! I can't air what my dad would have done to me, you know. But he doesn't think about that. He doesn't, and he obviously doesn't have the same rules that I have with my father. So it's a bonehead, stupid thing. And this is the problem when people want to be internet stars and people chase stardom and chase popularity and chase stupid. You know, everybody wants to be insta famous and not think about their career and not think about the effects. And maybe he doesn't have to worry about that because he's freaking minted, you know? But man, it's just bonehead. It's absolutely bonehead.
It's very bizarre. I mean, it obviously shouldn't have happened. And it's very bizarre that this year, with everything that's gone on, with all the Races One programs, with all the movements, like that didn't cross his mind. Like that blows me away. Like, it's crazy.
It's because certain social status will make you think or believe that you're above other things and you don't have to even consider it.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. The other thing is that I'm not trying to be critical of the FIA, but they don't bring the hammer down in the right way.
I will say this. They don't like to get involved. They like the teams and Formula One to go after that, which is bizarre because they're the organizing body supposed to be enforcing. Yeah,
exactly.
Because let's take all this stuff off of your
publicity that you're into this, that you're supporting these causes. And if you say you're backing these causes and backing this, well, then step up and do something and don't just give slaps on the wrist. Sorry to interrupt you, but
No. That's right. Remember 2 months ago what happened when Max got on the radio and made a very mm-hmm. derogatory comment using a Mongolian saying Mongol. And using it in a negative way, as if it's something that's bad and or like lower of status, of social status. I can't remember how, but the Mongolian government, not just Mongolian people of background, but the government came out and told the FIA, we want something done about this. And the FIA didn't do anything. We haven't even heard about anything since. Let's just sweep this away. So the FIA doesn't want to get involved, which is bizarre because again, they're the organizing body of rule setting and penalty giving. So
it depends, and I'm not trying to be controversial here, but if the Mongolian government was the Chinese government, I don't know if you would have gotten the same response from the FIA.
That's fair.
Come on, let's be real.
They don't have any commercial loss in Mongolia, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even if it was the U.S. government or the U.K. government, I mean, it has a different effect when you know that your money is going to be directly affected. They don't care. They're not going to Mongolia.
Which again, the way I view that, that's a kind of an ironic. It's an ironic scenario because with all the movements this year, with Formula One saying, hey, we want to support more minorities and diversities and everything, and then they still don't do anything in the heart of the moment. That's kind of bizarre. It is very bizarre.
It's more disappointing than anything else.
Absolutely.
I'm not expecting perfection from this organization. They have a lot of things on their plate. They have lot of problems, a lot of issues. But
some stuff is pretty glaring, though, that can be addressed. Yeah, man. It should be.
Slaps on the wrist don't do anything.
No.
Say, okay, no. Nikita, look, you're banned for the first two races. The end.
Fine.
We're not going to destroy your career.
Fine him, though, at least.
But a fine only does so much. You know, you're a racing driver. His dad is made out of gold, right?
That's true.
Whatever he found in Russia, right? So fining him, whatever. But you take away a racer's ability to race, and that affects it. You see, you're the first race of your F1 career you're going to spend on the sidelines. That hurts.
Yeah.
That'll make you think twice.
True that.
For sure. Anyway.
With that, let's transition into something super positive, which one of our groups in Formula One is actually doing very well with, which is Mercedes Accelerate 25 program.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about that, brother?
Well, yeah, they've got a program where they're working with a couple of organizations, including one STEM organization, to get minorities into not only careers, but also give them exposure for Formula One and to get them into Mercedes at any level. And so, yeah, I think it's a great thing. I just found out about it this morning. There's a lot of opportunities out there, and there's a lot of programs like this. And we said, hey, look, what do I do? I have a program like that too. So I would love to see Mercedes and other companies continue to do this. I would love to get, of course, you know, programs like what I do. Also, because it's so related to motorsports and related to engineering, so good on them. I hope they follow through. I hope it's a channel to actually get students to go into careers. And I'm glad to see that they're working with people like that.
Yeah, for those of you that haven't heard the early podcasts from the show, go back and listen to them. But also, I'll give you a quick synopsis of Mr. David here. David has a program called MyRacing.com, and it's a STEM program around motorsport. So it's a virtual platform, but also a classroom platform that gets young people and people that are adults too can do this, that can basically jump into a scenario that's driven by motorsport where you actually take on roles of drivers, of engineers, and it's all math-based, strategy-based, amazing curriculum where you're actually being educated through all those different facets, but it's motorsport examples. So rather than doing, like, think about when you were doing your maths in school back in the day, instead of doing, hey, Johnny went to the store and Johnny bought 5 apples and spent this much money, blah, blah, blah. Now it's, hey, you're going to increase air to fuel ratio or adjust this and that. What's the outcome? And then the coolest bit besides all that is it's coupled with racing simulators. So you're running actual programs. You're actually running these scenarios. You're not just doing it on paper. You're actually implementing it with a team of other students. And you guys are competing against each other too at the same time. So it's fascinating. Nothing like it in the world, literally. David, such a great program. Yeah, Mercedes 25. Why don't you pick up our emails? Respond.
I thank you for that that promotion, man. But yeah, it's something that I've been working at for the last 4 to 5 years, as you know, and you've been very helpful in honing it and helping me out in any way. But you need programs like this. I was at a dinner last night with a guy who's a mechanical engineer, and he's also in automotive, but he's more on the production side. And he was saying, hey, I can't find, he's like, these young people, I can't find enough young people to go into my company. And he's constantly buying out companies and doing stuff. He actually worked with Takata. He worked with ZF. He's a great guy. I hope you meet him one day. But he was like, he looked at my program and he's like, man, why are there not more programs like this? He said, because I don't have people to fill the roles that are coming up. And good on Mercedes. I hope they do it. I hope students who do this program take it seriously. You know, these are opportunities that don't come up. So I hope that the students really take it seriously and see the opportunities before them and go into these careers. So, yeah.
Yeah, agreed. So that's the positive that is happening when companies are doing the right thing or making the right decisions, in our opinions. So, yeah, man, we haven't seen pre-practices yet. They will kick off, I think, tomorrow. And do you have your predictions?
My predictions? Well, I'd like to know who's actually going to be racing this weekend. According to my app, it's about 16 hours to free practice. I'm gonna say that Max is going to be at the sharp end. I think I'm going to say Max, because Abu Dhabi should fit Red Bull really well. So I'm going to say Max 1, Russell 2. If Hamilton's in the car, it might be Hamilton 1 and Max 2. I don't see Bottas having a really great weekend. He's ready to be done, man. He's just mentally, I think he's just, yeah, he's ready to put a bow on it and get out of there and whatever he does in the off season to come back. So, yeah.
I think agreed.
Signs and Daniel are going to be Ricardo are going to be very motivated to end on a high note. Yeah. So that should be interesting.
I think we'll see Max come out. Like, he'll be a wild card. I think he'll be up there for the podium for sure, fighting for it. But I think we'll see also Mercedes Racing Point again this race be kind of the guys to beat.
There's quite a few twisty bits on that, you know, on that circuit.
There's some two really big straights too.
Yeah, there's two really
big straights. Really big drag straight. And then the twisty bits, though, once you're behind somebody, if you don't get them ahead of time, you're stuck.
Yeah, you can't overtake.
No,
you
it's very overtake. Difficult. Very, very, very difficult. Yeah. So
it's a very interesting track.
It looks like a road course, but it's actually more like a street circuit. I'm going to go with Racing Point and Mercedes again being at the top of this one. Yes, if Lewis is back in the car, I think Lewis is the guy that is going to take the win. And if Russell's in the car, I think it's Russell's race to lose again. And he's now got more experience. He's only going to get faster. Like, that's it.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
It would be amazing if he wins, because just think about the first time winners we've had this season. And I know we're going to cover this when we do our season wrap up and we do our off season program. But this year has produced for a year that we weren't even sure if we were going to get 6 races in. The storylines we've had this year, the first time winners we had this year, the drama, You know, it's been a very good season,
dude. With the exception of, you know, first place, it's been incredibly dramatic. With the exception of, like, the racing that's been going on behind first place has been phenomenal. Like, mm-hmm. So yeah, it was good. I was very entertained this year. I've been entertained the last five seasons. Like, I know on paper you look back and it looks like it is Mercedes dominance, but it's been very close. Besides this season, it's been very close for the title championships. Like, in 2018, it could have been a very different story. 2019 right. could have been a very different story. Very quick, like, easily, just a couple things here and there shifting could have been very different. But yeah, Mercedes Racing Point. I can't say Russell or Lewis, but Russell or Lewis will take the win if they're the ones in the car, whichever okay. one I should say is in the car, followed by, I think, a Racing Point. And then I think the third place position will be up to Valtteri and Max. I don't know if Stroll's going to have as good as a race here as he's had at some of these other flowing circuits. I think Sergio will do better.
I agree.
So... yeah, and then from there, Albon. I think Albon's gonna fall behind. I think we're gonna see Albon mid pack in this race. I think Daniel's gonna shine in this race. I think Daniel's good at this circuit. And I think Daniel in that Renault is actually probably gonna surprise. So those are my predictions.
Yeah, we'll have to talk after the race, because it's not a great way for Albon to end the season, and he's probably not going to have a drive next year, not in Formula One at least. So, yeah, there's a lot to cover.
He had a post on Instagram earlier this week that said something like he had, like, screenshotted his or took a screenshot of his status, mm-hmm. and it said Red Bull racing driver, and then his comment to his own post was something like, oh, phew, just checking. Like, checking that he was, like, still on it. Which I didn't understand if that was him taking, like, somebody else having a go at him in his response, or if it was just him being, trying to be funny.
Or, I think it was him trying to be funny.
Yeah, but it's a bizarre. But it's not. Yeah, I was going to say it's bizarre. Like, unless they've come to some kind of agreement behind closed doors and they just haven't announced it yet. That's the other thing. But I haven't heard anybody bring anything up, so.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about what a big mistake that would be. and nothing against him, but just for, yeah, it's yeah. just it's.
And Grosjean's Instagram was hacked this week, and then he got it back somehow.
I briefly saw that, but what did they do when they hacked it? Would they just remove the pictures?
No, they didn't remove pictures. They were posting, like, a lot of just rando stuff and
random.
But, yeah, and then he got it back. He was able to get back into it, so it's back to him now.
That's just weird.
Was bizarre. Yeah. So, all right. Awesome stuff, man. I'm super excited. I'm so sad the season's over. But the positive, again, silver lining. We have a really short off season. So yes. We're going to be kicking it off again quickly. We're not waiting 3 to 4 months now. We only have to wait a couple. So that's the beauty.
And we're going to have some very interesting podcasts while there's an off season. Stuff we've talked about that we're going to do in this off season. So yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. We're going to do some unique things that you haven't seen other podcasts do. Stay tuned for that. And we do have our season kind of finale as well, which is the review of the year, our favorites, our worsts, and so on and so forth. So that format's coming. It's going to be really fun to talk about. Yeah, guys, enjoy the race this weekend. Get that popcorn out. Whatever else you want to eat when you watch the race or drink. And this is it. So
this is it.
Connect with us on social media, on Instagram, anywhere else. And we respond back. I've been getting actually a lot more questions and inquiries recently through email and through social. And it's fun. We love talking. We love connecting with you guys. So, David, enjoy the race this weekend, brother. See you soon. All right. Ciao, everybody.
Take care.
All right. One last thing before you take off. We're going to be experimenting with various segments and formats in this first season. I really want your feedback regarding what you like or disliked. Also, please let me know if we make any factual mistakes with information so we may go back and list corrections on the F1Geeks.com podcast page. And if you simply want to share opinions or F1 stories, suggest topics for discussion, please direct them all to info@F1Geeks.com. Thanks again for listening, and join our community by registering to become an F1 Geek on the website. Membership is free and will give you access to exclusive Formula One content, events, driving or racing experiences, which we host. See you next week.